This is Connecting Faith, and as we've had opportunity the last few weeks to connect with Rick Mattson, we've always just enjoyed that chance to understand how we can more effectively share the good news of the gospel, explain why we believe and follow Jesus. You know, that can sometimes be daunting, but we're told to always be ready to give an answer to the hope that we have. Well, that doesn't just happen without preparation and intention. So I'm hoping that as you've listened to our segments with Rick over the months and weeks here, that you're getting a better sense of, you know, what you can do to be prepared, to be better prepared. Rick is a apologetic specialist at the University of Christian Fellowship. He served as a staff worker there for over 30 years, and he's author of Faith is Like Skydiving and other memorable images for dialogue with seekers and skeptics, frequently speaks in college and university campuses around the country. And last time, Rick, we were talking a little bit about just sharing your story, telling our story, how to have an effective testimony, and you modeled it for us. But, I mean, those are important aspects of having a spiritual conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when I came to Christ, this was back in the late 70s, and I was telling my story, and my friend Laurie, where there were several of us sitting in my vehicle, and we were just talking. We were driving around Marshall, Minnesota, you know, cruising Maine.
Sure.
But we were talking about faith, and my friend Laurie was sitting in the back seat and with someone else, and another friend of mine was sitting in the front seat, and we were talking about the change that had occurred in my life after I met Christ, going from a completely self-absorbed person to someone who was starting to get some love and care going for other people in an imperfect way. And so Laurie overheard me telling how I had come to faith in Christ. And through just overhearing my story, she herself came to faith in Christ. Okay, well, I didn't know that. That was back in, I don't know, late 70s sometime. Well, I visited her out in Washington, D.C. last summer, and I was interviewing her for this other book that I'm writing. And we got talking, and she goes, well, I don't know if you know this or not, but it was you telling your story to our mutual friend Kathy that I overheard. And that's one of the main reasons that I came to faith, and I'd seen the dramatic change in your life. So, Neil, that's the power of a story. Wow. Right there. But I didn't know it for 40 years. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
But it does, I guess, remind us, too. I mean, we really don't know when we pray for open opportunities to share, when we're willing to take that risk, maybe, just to share, that God is going to use it in interesting ways.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. If we're obedient to Him, we might not see all the results of our work for the kingdom in the here and now, but someday we might have the opportunity to hear about it. And certainly when we go before the Lord, we'll hear the good news of some of the things that we worked on back in this life, this earthly life.
Maybe we should just follow up on that because, you know, results, you know, sometimes when we talk about evangelism, somehow we think that results have to be, that's an important part of the equation. And certainly we do want to see life change, but that's not our primary responsibility, is it?
Right. Do the right thing. Share the message of Christ. Care for another person. Plant the seed and trust God for the results. Trust the Holy Spirit for the results. I think it takes a kind of discipline to do that. It takes trust in God that He's working and that if you are listening to His voice and following through on the prompts that He gives to you, that kingdom work is going to be accomplished, whether we see it in the here and now or not.
So, Rick, last time we were talking about telling our story, you know, life before, the change, and then life after. We just referenced a little bit, you know, sharing a bit about the gospel. But is there, I mean, do you have an outline of the gospel, maybe Romans Road or different verses? I mean, it used to be the four spiritual laws. Do you have maybe a set that you kind of use from more often than not?
I do. I have two or three that I use. One is the good old-fashioned bridge diagram. Mm-hmm. You can find it through Billy Graham or the Navigators. We use it in InterVarsity as well. And I think it's so helpful to have a gospel outline because it's just a summary statement of the gospel. Sometimes gospel outlines are criticized for being reductionistic or they're not filled in enough. They don't tell the whole gospel. I guess my response to that is let's all have ready this tool ready where we can summarize the message of the gospel. And maybe that will come at the tail end of a long conversation or years of conversation with another person. But then at some point you say, Would it be okay with you if I just shared with you a summary of the gospel message according to the Bible? And the person will often say, yeah, sure, that's okay. So what I've done, I've asked their permission. I haven't just charged in and preached at them. I've asked their permission, could I share this message with you? And it's a summary. It comes in several points and helps keep us on track. So with the bridge diagram, you've got the creation of humankind. You've got God, but then there's separation due to sin. And the reason it's called the bridge diagram is because Christ then, through his cross, becomes the bridge of this chasm, this separation between humanity and God. And we walk over the bridge when we place our faith in Christ and we're reunited with God. We're restored to a relationship with him. And then if you want to take the diagram a little further, you walk back across the bridge the other way to tell the message of Christ to other people who haven't met him yet. And so the bridge works both ways. And we bring more and more people to meet him and develop Christian community there. And that's a summary of the message right there. And that's heaven, the presence of God then, crossing the bridge and being in his presence. That's the definition of eternal life right there. So that's the bridge diagram. It can be shared quickly if necessary. A Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, has a thing called Knowing God Personally. You can download that booklet from their website. I think it's super helpful. It's another outline. If you go to the Billy Graham Association, they have one on their Neil called Steps to Peace with God. These are all similar to the bridge diagrams. You can do them pretty quickly, or you can stretch them out a bit and fill in some of the detail. And I think we all who are witnesses for Christ should have at least one tool that we're well practiced in that we can share with other people.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, just it's not repeating it by rote, but it's practiced, so it's familiar to us, and it doesn't have to be long either, does it? I mean, that's one of the things we think it has to be, you know, expansive and detailed. There's a lot of theology to talk about. We don't have to unpack it all.
No, we don't. It comes in stages. I remember one time we were in Cleveland. We were doing ministry at the campuses there. And we went out to Lake Erie. We went out to the beach in Cleveland.
Wow.
Now, do you think of Cleveland Beach?
I didn't know there was one.
Yes, it's actually pretty nice. So we were out and we were sharing Christ on the beach, one of the Oberlin students and myself. We walked up to this guy. He was a businessman. He was having lunch out there. We didn't have a lot of time. He was a churchgoer, but maybe he hadn't completed the circle yet of really knowing Christ personally. So I drew the bridge diagram with my toe in the sand.
Hmm.
And I remember it took like 30 seconds. I just drew the humanity here, God here, the separation in between, and the bridge across. And then we just looked at him and said, is that something that you've ever done in your life? Accepted Christ and walked across the bridge. It was a short conversation, but it was just so handy to have a tool, to have a diagram that I could draw with my foot in the sand.
Yeah. Which, again, it just reminds us that the gospel, while we can learn and study it and seek to understand it all our lives, but it is simple enough for a child to understand.
Right. You can go as deep as you want to. You can go deep for philosophers and theologians and PhD, highly educated people, or you can keep it simple. But I think the gospel can do both. The gospel is accessible to both of those audiences and everything in between. And when we become good at discerning the level of detail and the level of sophistication that we need for each person that we're talking to, that's when I think we're really walking with the Spirit in our witness.
Well, I was just thinking as you're talking about your book, Faith is Like Skydiving, because it is full of, as the subtitle says, other memorable images for dialogue with seekers and skeptics. I mean, there are many sort of metaphors or bridges that I guess are jumping off points, aren't there, to start these conversations?
Yeah, there really are. Someone might say, gosh, Christians are such hypocrites, or the church has started all the wars, or whatever. And so I might say, you know, I think people have just actually misused Christianity for their own ends, to bring harm to other people. It's not the faith itself. So I might say, if I go out to your car and pound dents in your car with a hammer, do you blame the hammer? No, you blame me. I'm the one who misused the tool. And the hypocrisy in the church is often people misusing the tool, the hammer, so to speak, misusing Christianity and the message of God to bring harm to other people. Gosh, that's one of the worst things that could ever happen. But that would be a metaphor for me to speak back to the person who's accusing Christians, accusing the church of being hypocritical.
And I love, too, how so often in your conversations, after you've shared, you know, your story or, you know, a metaphor, bridge diagram, I mean, you give an opportunity for a response.
Exactly.
I think that's an important part, isn't it?
Exactly. Maybe call me old-fashioned, Neil, but I like to use the sinner's prayer. I went to the Billy Graham Association. They have a really great sinner's prayer that you can download. It's very simple. And it says, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. And I want to trust him, and so on and so forth. It's about 10 lines. And if prayed sincerely, you're asking Christ into your heart. I've handed a sinner's prayer to a person and said, have you ever prayed the sinner's prayer? Have you accepted Christ into your life? So you're asking for a response. Or maybe at the end of sharing a gospel outline, you might say, is there anything preventing you from really embracing this for yourself in your own life right now? And again, the person might say, yeah, I still have some questions. Great, let's deal with those. No, I think I'm ready right now. So I'm at South Dakota State University one day, and I shared the bridge diagram, and I just looked at this young woman and said, is there anything preventing you from embracing, from receiving Christ right now? Well, no, not ready. Let's pray this prayer so you can know that you have eternal life and a relationship with God. So, yes, inviting a response. Mm.
Our prayer is that as we've spent time talking over these past few weeks, that we would be better equipped and encouraged and more mindful of opportunities to share the good news of the gospel. And, Rick, thank you for showing us how to do it winsomely and naturally. You want to find out more, you can go to Rick's website, rickmatsonoutreach.com, rickmatsonoutreach.com, and then check out his book, Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. Rick's an apologetic specialist for the University of Christian Fellowship, working on the college and university campuses across the country. We're always grateful to have you here.
Thank you.